Hello, I'm Bonnie Rabakoff, and we are back in the kitchen at the local pig with their proprietor, Alex Pope. We are about to make his slow-roasted porchetta with dressed greens, black truffle butter on a pretzel bun. So what part of the pig, and I should tell you, when you visit us on the website or see us on television, you're going to see this little pig. Well, he wasn't so little. And he was cut all the way down in half. And it was a wonderful opportunity to learn where various cuts of pork come from. It was very informative. Mm-hmm. But the porchetta comes from where on the pig?
So the porchetta is a combination of loin and belly.
Okay.
So it's essentially the casey strip of the pig.
Yes.
Which is near the hind section.
Yes.
So it's the boneless loin. What we do is when we cut that, normally you would separate that from the belly, which runs straight into it.
And the belly is where the bacon comes from. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we just cut it into one single piece.
It was a wonderful piece, too. Yes. Okay. So after it was butchered, we had the piece of meat. Let's talk about the rub that you created for marinating.
Sure.
Okay.
So this is an Italian-inspired dish. Porchetta is an Italian dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be over-the-top spiced. Right. You know, it should be subtly spiced and let the flavor of the pork shine through. So what we went with was we started with a combination of fennel seeds, caraway seeds, and dried orange peel.
And what I loved was the dry roasting. But there's a huge difference between going to your spice rack and grabbing a jar of fennel and then taking the fennel and toasting it.
It's
just enormous.
Know,
yeah.
You know, pre-ground spices, while convenient, you don't know if they've ever been toasted. They probably haven't. And you have no idea when they've been ground. And the essential oils evaporate quickly. So,
and I think an important point is that it took minutes.
Oh,
I mean, it was in a dry pan and
saute pan. Yep.
Yeah.
And you want to go over medium
minutes,
heat. Medium heat for fennel seeds toast particularly quickly,
mm-hmm.
but 1 to 2 minutes.
Okay.
Let them chill down. Grind them up. That's it. It's very simple.
And you had an old coffee grinder,
mm-hmm.
that's devoted to spices that you don't use for coffee.
Yes.
So we
went to Pride's and bought two. Black one was for coffee, and the white one is for spices.
There you go. No
confusion
here. So we
took those spices, mm-hmm. yep, and combined them with fresh rosemary.
And I should, when Alex says fresh, he means in the backyard. Fresh rosemary.
In the summer, yes, absolutely. We have a big garden.
But you had some that was still surviving.
In the front window,
rosemary.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Okay, all right.
Fresh rosemary.
Yes.
Good olive oil.
Yes.
And
do we have garlic?
A little bit of garlic.
A little bit of garlic.
And Dijon mustard.
Mm.
So we just kind of make a paste with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the consistency maybe of chunky ketchup or something like that.
Yeah.
And just mix it all together. And what you do is you score the meat about a half an inch in a crisscross pattern. And
like you'd see on a ham, that kind of scoring.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that just, and this is on the interior.
Okay.
And then you spread everything in, and that scoring allows the seasoning to penetrate
mm-hmm.
more deeply. It's not
mm-hmm.
necessary. It helps a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Exactly. Why not?
Okay.
So you rub it in, and mm-hmm. What you do is the loin is a tubular shape, and the belly mm-hmm. is more or less a flat rectangle,
yes.
and you just simply wrap them around each other,
mm-hmm.
wrap the loin. So the loin, which cooks
quickly. It looks
quickly,
like a jelly roll, for mm-hmm. a better, another way to describe it
yep.
is roll it up like a jelly roll, and the rub was...
on the inside.
Yes.
And then you season the outside with salt and the inside with salt as well.
Okay. And then you
truss it. Yep.
Yes.
Which is just butcher talk for tying it up in string.
Butcher talk. Yeah, we're doing butcher talk. Okay.
And then you let it, we like to let it rest for 2 days. It's not necessary. It allows some of the seasonings to go in and allows it to just real lightly cure because of the salt, which can tenderize it a little bit. If you don't have time, not a huge deal.
But he spent 2 days in the refrigerator before mm-hmm. we did the
before
roasting.
Before we cooked it, yes.
Okay. And then the other piece that we just forget, you know, we hear slow cooking and we think we need to spend a lot of time doing something, but all it means is that
it's
low and slow. It's in the oven. You can still be doing other things.
Sure.
So it's not time consuming in that respect.
No, it's, you know, absolutely not. I mean, it'd be more time consuming to sit and stir fry something than to
I
do
know,
this.
I know, we forget. We forget
just throw
that.
Throw it in and what, come back in 3 or 4 hours.
And what temperature?
About 300 for about 3.5 hours.
Okay.
And I use a lot of abouts when because we do tell a lot of people how to cook our stuff, but ovens vary so greatly.
I know.
In there.
It's huge. Speed,
you know, people. You know, there's a lot of confusion between convection and conventional cooking, which makes a gigantic difference.
So I'm told if you have a conventional, meaning there's not a fan in the back of your oven, that you might want to increase temperature by 25 degrees or you have to adjust the temperature.
You have to adjust. Well, the temperature and the time.
And the time.
Or one of the two.
Okay.
You know, time and temperature are two hands of, you know, of the same thing that get you to cooking fully what you want.
So if you have a conventional oven at home, and how much would you say this porchetta weighed that we were working with?
8 pounds, maybe.
8 pounds. How long if you had
a conventional oven, I'd go about 4 hours. If you had a convection oven, I'd go about 3 hours.
Okay. All right. And so what internal temperature are we looking for? Because I know you chefs can put your finger on it and know if it's done, but for the rest of us, we use our instant read thermometers. What temperature are we looking for?
If your pork loin, when you take it out of the oven, is hitting 145, it'll carry up to 150 to 155,
okay.
Which is totally good. Because the pork loin, we actually want to do more of a quick cook on because it is a steak.
Right.
The belly, which is wrapped around it, is a slow roast. So it works real nicely. It's sort of a cushion. So by the time the slow roasted belly hits its doneness, then the loin starts to cook and is also cooked at about the same rate.
Okay. So just the way it's wrapped is going to give us a more even cooking.
There's a reason the belly's on the outside of the loin and fully covering the loin, because the belly cooks longer and it'll take longer than the loin. So you want to put that around it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So he's spent some time in the oven, and I know we want him to rest a little. How long? I mean, he's been cooking, so he needs to rest. How long should we have him rest?
The rule of thumb is half the cooking time up to a half an hour.
Okay.
So that's half an hour minimum.
Half an hour minimum. We forget to let it rest long enough.
I tend to let things over rest because I want the, you know, you really get so many more juices reflowing. If you cut too early and there's juices pouring out, you know, it's just, you've lost a lot. You can't undo it.
You know, we've done little tests about, you know, the difference in the flavor as well as the juiciness, and letting a chicken or meat rest makes a big difference in the result.
So absolutely. Just
have some patience.
You know, yeah. Yes. You know, what you could do if you're making this recipe is you could make the mustard greens while you wait for the thing to roast.
To control yourself.
Yep. So,
okay, there we
so
go.
So we do two different things. You can either just do simply baby arugula dressed in mustard and olive
oil. So let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So we're building a signature dish that is an amazing
sandwich. Yep.
And porchetta is what we have just been preparing. So now we're going to prepare the other pieces and parts to this sandwich. Mm-hmm. And you've chosen for your greens, is it arugula?
So, yes, you can use either baby arugula.
Yes.
And you can just take that with olive oil and Dijon mustard and just mix it up. Or if you're feeling a little more adventurous, you can get mustard greens and roast those, saute those, use that as a topping.
Okay. So whichever green, but the flavor profile we are seeking is that Dijon mustard
Dijon and olive oil. Because the porchetta is a bacon-wrapped loin. So it is going to be rich. So you need, and part of the other portion of this is our black truffle. So you do, it is nice to have a little bit of Dijon, which is acidic and, you know, has that kind of zestiness to offset things.
And that's an important piece in either, not only putting together a sandwich, but in creating a plate that everything doesn't have to be rich and overwhelming. You're trying to create some
balance.
So we have the mustard greens or the baby arugula. We've dressed it with that. Let's talk about how you prepared this butter, because that was amazing. We all know, and you know, people say, what's a truffle? It's sort of like a mushroom, but it grows on the roots of, is it oak?
Oak and elm.
Oak and elm, and I think they use pigs to find it, and it comes from France. It's very expensive. So if you want to stretch, would you describe it as sort of a smoky flavor.
It is tough to describe. Earthy is the best. You know, mushrooms and fish sauce, they kind of have echoes of it. But it is kind of in and of itself its own ingredient.
Earthy is a good. I'm going to use that from now on.
And,
okay.
What we do, so you can make either a black truffle butter or black truffle mayonnaise or aioli. Either one will work just fine. Mm-hmm.
We use the black truffle butter, right?
I think on ours we had the aioli, but we kind of go back and forth. We're still, you know,
working.
We're perfecting our signatures. So,
all right.
Yes.
So how do you make this butter or aioli that with your wonderful black truffles?
This is the easiest thing I've found.
We like easy. Working.
The American restaurant, you can get truffles and they're amazing.
Yes, they are.
They're hard to find. They're not in season very often.
So expensive, right?
The best thing I've found is black truffle salt, where they just take black truffles and grind it.
Oh, yes, I've
salt.
Seen that. Yeah, okay.
So it's pretty reasonably priced. A little goes a long way. And we just put, you can just simply put black truffle salt into some whipped butter or some, even some store-bought mayo.
Okay.
Take a garlic
clove. What a good idea.
Yeah, just throw it in there with a garlic clove and some black truffle salt, and you have a black truffle aioli.
I'm going to do this. That was simple enough to do. And that earthy flavor with the spicy fresh taste of the dressed greens and the richness of the porchetta, well, I would say it was perfection. All right, so the porchetta has rested, but he needs to go through one more step before he gets to the sandwich. What did we do with the porchetta?
We had to slice the porchetta.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
He was so beautiful.
So it's a big loin, and you do want to just slice it as thinly as possible. You're not going to have any it'll be just fine if you cut off a big steak, but for sandwich purposes, you generally want to go with thin because there's less pulling issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your belly should be very tender, your loin should be very tender, but just like a cheesesteak or something like that, the thinner you can get, the better you're going to be.
Okay, and then this little guy went into the frying pan.
We toasted the pretzel bread, which we get from Farm to Market Bread Company. Make an excellent pretzel bread. You can get a lot of really good restaurants.
Great, just a little bit salty, but it just has great.
It's got a density.
So then the porchetta itself went into the frying pan too.
Real quick, and if it's warm enough, you don't need to. If it's cooled down while you're making everything else, go for it.
But we did, and you know what I liked about that? It got some caramelization.
Sure, yeah.
And I love caramelization. So all of the ingredients are lined up and ready to go. When we return, we are going to plate it. We are going to pair not only this signature sandwich, but we're all going to offer some pairings for some of the other products there at the local pig. Please stay with us in the kitchen.